CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to fascinating personalities who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here's Steve Klein.
William James said, "If you care enough for a result, you will most certainly attain it." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who attain results. Our first playmaker served 26 years in the Air Force, retiring as a colonel, while our next playmaker bridges the gap and elevates vendor accountability in the marketplace. With us today is an executive director who runs the largest educational association of orthodontics, while our next managing partner built a team of executives and leaders with 50 years of consulting experience. These great playmakers are Tom Chapman. Tom is executive director of the American Orthodontic Society. And Jennifer Schomburg. Jennifer is managing partner of Fuse Solutions. We're going to begin today's show with Jennifer. Jennifer Schomburg is Fuse Solution Incorporated's managing partner and co-founder. With 20 years of leadership experience and a broad understanding of enterprise service management and business operations, Fuse Solutions is the ideal catalyst to bridge the gap and genuinely elevate vendor accountability in the marketplace. Fuse Solutions is a team of skilled executives and operational leaders who have a collective 50 years of experience in customer-facing, talent-engaging, and influential roles across major industries. Prior to the founding of Fuse Solutions, Jennifer was Director of Client Services for an award-winning IT managed service company, while the helm, she and her team were recipients of numerous awards for leadership and delivery, including multiple global supplier recognition awards for service excellence. Well, Jennifer, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Well, you have an interesting name to your business, and I guess it fits well. What is Fuse Solutions?
Fuse Solutions, we are a consulting practice. We're based here in Dallas. However, our customers are around the globe, and we provide consulting and advisory services for the operations level to the enterprise, which is typically down at the level who is delivering your services in a big company such as IT or facilities management. And we are trusted by some of the biggest names in corporate America.
Well, you had a lot of success at the last job you were with, as I mentioned in the opening. What moved you from that company into starting, co-founding a business such as Fuse Solutions?
That's interesting. Growing up in corporate America, I had a lot of wonderful mentors who I made some good decisions and some bad decisions, and all of which I learned from. And when Fuse Solutions came to life, it really was not intentional. It was a product of looking back at the success, good and bad, and going, I think I can do this. I want to do this better. And when you look at the corporate America landscape, there's a lot of silos. I say it's a lot of little businesses under one company name. So some of those advisors and mentors were very good and very supportive, giving me that confidence to launch Fuse Solutions just about 2 years ago.
So did you have clients ready to come on board when you started?
I did not. Actually, I took a different path. So knowing launching a business was the absolute most hardest thing I've ever done. The one thing the books don't tell you is the emotional roller coaster that it will take you on is something that you can't prepare for. You have to experience it. And so I chose the path of what's called lean startup. So I took 6 months and I basically built a business and I practiced. And I had a lot of people that were very good to me and letting me practice, formulating ideas and rolling them out and pitching them and making modifications and tweaks along the way. So we started with no customers. However, when we became customer facing, it was very apparent our now customers were very, very pleased that these ideas were well thought out and they were ready to roll.
We're speaking with Jennifer Schomburg. Jennifer is co-founder and managing partner of Fuse Solutions. The website is fusesolutions.com. Well, according to your website, there are four main areas that you focus on with clientele. Talk a little about these. There are employment solutions, consulting and strategy, supplier management, and channel partner solutions. Is one of those a basic area to work with, or do they work together as you're consulting with a company?
That's a great question. They actually all work together, and the common denominator is people. And serving the service level or the operational level, that's all people. It's where things happen and where business gets done every day. The vendor management portion of that is, that's my experience being a former supplier to very large organizations, is there was always a gap. The CEOs and the leaders, they knew what they wanted. They knew what they wanted to pay for. You get all the way down to the vendors. There was always this gap of, we have the money, but we don't know what we want. Well, the vendor says, well, we have what you want. Everything gets pushed out, and there always seems to be a few problems along the way. Everybody boils it down to communications. And so our common core is people. And so the vendor management is bridging that gap with the vendors, making sure those requirements are clear, and that, you know, the enterprise side, there's no surprises. And the employment solutions, that's more of design. We are not a staffing company. We do not employ, per se, your traditional contractors. But what we do help is design those programs to make them the best solution for our customers. So it's a changing landscape, and the market is shrinking for talent. So getting creative with our customers about how to identify, attract, and retain talent to deliver their projects is pretty important right now.
We talked a few weeks back prior to the recording of the show, and talked about the number of clients you have, which is not a lot. You have a handful of clients you work with all the time. But the question is, do you spend a lot of time up front with them, asking them questions to find out what they need and how you're going to work with them?
Absolutely. We are boutique, and people ask me, what do you mean by boutique? And it's pretty simple. We're accessible. And so, absolutely. To be trusted at the level we're trusted by our customers. And when I say customers, I mean, we're talking, you know, global leaders in aviation, social media. It's across the board. And so, yes, being on site, working closely with our leaders and their teams and their staffs is a part of our business model.
So if you were to identify the perfect client for you, not necessarily industry, what would that client look like in terms of maybe number of personnel or the way they operate?
So the ideal client for us is going to be enterprise-wide, enterprise size, I guess I should say. Enterprise meaning more than 10,000 people, maybe, you know, give or take. However, the factor isn't necessarily their size. It's going to be, are they ready for transformation? And by transformation, I mean, are you ready to get rid of, we used to do it this way, or we're doing this because we've always done it this way to help me be successful for the next change in my business? And how do I do that with the people I have? That's our ideal client.
Well, you had a very successful career prior to starting Fuse Solutions. How did you get into IT?
How did I get? Oh, let's go way back. When I was 16 years old, I did a job share at high school. I got to leave at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was very fortunate. I worked for a Big Six global consulting company, rolling out PC computers. And I'm not going to date myself. In the 90s, everybody needed one, and I was able to pick up quickly how to build them and deploy them. That started my love for technology. So I went on and I learned some minor coding and some other internal things about technology. Got out, took my first job working on a development team, and quickly realized I loved IT, but I wasn't going to be that coder. I was not going to be behind a keyboard. I was too much of an extrovert, and that's where I found the consulting side of being that liaison or that conduit between the leaders and the project leaders and basically the ones that have to deliver.
Well, you started your business without clientele. You spent some time, six
yes.
months, putting the whole thing together and getting people to help you. Have you had any major obstacles you've had to overcome over the years you've had your business that you thought, well, maybe this is not right for me, but you kept going and you made it happen?
Yes, I have. And I don't think I would be sitting here and claiming success if I hadn't. In our brief time, we learned a lot about launching a business right out of the gate. Everybody wants to sell you something. So trying to navigate those, and we did. We made one purchase that wasn't significant in the big big scheme of things, but it was our belief that, oh, this was going to solve a certain problem internally and we won't have to worry about it. We were definitely sold. And it's taught us to ask better questions. And there was another, you know, we have a team of very trusted individuals amongst each other and with our clients. And we did, looking back, we onboarded several personnel that weren't ready for what Fuse was going to do and having to basically suck it up and take it back and say, this is not the right opportunity for you. And we did that. And it was a tough decision because we trusted and we knew these individuals. But I'm happy to say they have also moved on and are doing fantastic in their careers. So it was hard at the moment. And, you know, right now it's the best thing that's happened.
Well, you and your colleagues have 50 years of experience.
Collectively.
Collectively, yes. Jen doesn't have the 50 years by herself. But where did you find your colleagues?
My colleagues? You know, it's, again, our business focuses on delivery, operations delivery. So it's come through just years of working and finding those diamonds in the rough in people that deliver for companies every day. And it's not what they're delivering, it's how they're doing it. And so really, it's through association.
Well, this is Playmakers Talk Show, and I was ask leaders, what's a big thing or playmaking idea that led to your success for Fuse Solutions? Any one area pop up that all of a sudden made you realize, this, we really have a company, and we're successful?
Well, the one playmaking idea was we've evolved our model. And having one of the leaders of one of the largest companies in the world say, I like this. Can you do X, Y, and Z? And being able to turn around and do that and bring a smile to their face and walk back, quite frankly, with a purchase order, that was when we knew that what we have is very, very special.
That pulls it all together. Well, tell everybody how they can find out about Fuse Solutions should they want to find out more about you.
We can go to the web or fusesolutions.com, and there's a contact me page. You can drop it in there. I think on the website you put our phone number. Feel free to call, and you can reach me on Twitter as well at TechnologyJen.
Again, that's fusesolutions.com. Jennifer Schomburg. Jennifer, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer Schomburg is the managing partner and co-founder of Fuse Solutions, fusesolutions.com. Don't go away. We have more. We're going to speak orthodontics with the executive director of the American Orthodontic Society. His name is Tom Chapman. Back with Tom right after this.
Operation Kindness is the original and largest no-kill animal shelter in North Texas, having saved more than 80,000 cats and dogs over almost 40 years. On a day-to-day basis, Operation Kindness cares for approximately 300 cats and dogs, with another 150 in foster homes. In the past 12 months, more than 4,200 homeless cats and dogs have received medical care, clean shelter, nutritious food, and playtime until they were adopted into a new forever home. Go to OperationKindness.org to adopt or foster a dog or cat. Donate or volunteer. That's OperationKindness.org.
Wipe Out Kids Cancer is a Dallas-based nonprofit organization founded in 1980 dedicated to raising awareness and funding for pediatric cancer research on a national basis. Wipe Out Kids Cancer has raised over $4 million in the crusade against pediatric cancer and spent over 30 years developing programs to not only fight childhood cancer, but to also provide hope and support to kids and families battling cancer. Our mission is to work relentlessly for a day when children are living cancer-free. You can help make a difference. Go to WOKC.org to donate or volunteer. That's WOKC.org.
Welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. This segment, we're going to speak with the executive director for the American Orthodontic Society. His name is Tom Chapman. The American Orthodontic Society is the largest educational association of general and pediatric dentists who have chosen to add orthodontics to their practice. Now, Tom graduated SMU with a BBA in finance and an MBA in management from UT. He then entered the U.S. Air Force and served a 26-year career, retiring at the rank of colonel. Tom served as a base commander during Desert Storm and received both the Bronze Star Medal and the Legion of Merit. Well, Tom, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you very much.
You have an interesting organization, so tell us, what does the American Orthodontic Society do?
Well, to do that, you need to explain dentistry a little bit in orthodontics.
I'll let you do that.
I will do that. In the United States, most everyone thinks that when they go get braces on or they get orthodontics, it's being done by an orthodontist. In actuality, when you have the TIST after your name, you've done a residency after dental school and you've become an orthodontist. Reality is, over a third of the orthodontics, over a third of the braces being put on in the United States, is being done by general and pediatric dentists. For them to get that education, which is rather limited in dental school, they have to come back and do continuing education. And we provide that continuing education. We are the largest organization in the United States that does provide that. We've actually provided some training internationally in the area of Dubai. So we provide the training that they need to incorporate orthodontics into their practice. And in no instance are they specialists. And in all instances, they are continuing to do all phases of general dentistry in their practice. But typically, my members come from small communities, under 25,000, where there is limited specialist, and therefore they become the individuals that provide orthodontics in their community. And our job is to provide quality training, and we try very hard to do that.
When they graduate and pass a test, they become a DDS. Is there anything they receive once they become an orthodontist?
When they become an orthodontist,
is there a designation for them?
There is a designation for orthodontist because that's equivalent to a master's degree. Now, we are not dealing with orthodontists directly. We're dealing with general and pediatric dentists. But, yes, they do receive a special designation. Our members, though, go back. All dentists can do any – once they graduate from dental school and become a DDS, they can do any kind of dentistry they want to do, all the way from orthodontics to endodontics to perio to whatever they choose to do. But they have to go back and get continuing education to do it because dental school, like any other college, does not provide the full set of skills that you're going to need. So in our area of orthodontics, which is a niche but a very important niche, it's one that is always going to be here because people always want straight teeth and they always have problems with that and they always have occlusion, as they call it, which is a clinical term, but they have occlusion problems. And so there's always going to be orthodontic needs in the United States, and it cannot always be fulfilled by the orthodontist because of the distribution of specialists in the United States.
My guess is the first person that would bring it up to the patient would be a dentist.
Correct. And we always say, general dentists have them in their chair. They see the problems. We help them to identify the problems that they're going to have with their teeth in all areas of their teeth. And crooked teeth, if you want to use that phrase, is one area that they're the first ones to see. So it's always better because they trust their general dentist. And in most instances, people don't want to be referred away from a dentist they're comfortable with, whether it's endo or perio, in our case orthodontics. If that general dentist has gone back and got training, it is much, much better for the patient if they can stay in the chair. That said, there is a great need for orthodontists because not all cases could ever be done by a general or pediatric dentist. There are referrals that have to be made, and we teach our people, this is what you need to refer. The specialist serves a very important role.
Well, I want to find out more about Tom Chapman and the role that you've taken up into being executive director for the AOS. You spent a large part of your career in the military.
I did.
Why the military and why the Air Force?
Well, why the military is pretty simple. When I was in college, I was at SMU, there was still a draft. There was a war in Vietnam, and I chose to serve. And the way I chose to serve was to go through the ROTC program at SMU. I left there, became a second lieutenant, and never intended to stay in. But at each phase point, when you have an opportunity to get out, you think about that. And when you run into some incredible people and incredible leaders that I did, they convinced me that I had potential in the Air Force, and I believed in their leadership, and that's where I learned leadership. And I think I stayed in because of the quality leadership and the increasing responsibility that the Air Force gives you.
Well, let's talk about that because that's the business I'm in, and that's what I work with a lot of clients on is leadership. You have a very specific leadership philosophy. You developed a management style. My guess is most of that came from the military and leaders that you rubbed elbows with.
I did. I think that leadership is – there are probably those that innately have leadership skills, but the vast majority of the population, if they're going to have quality leadership, they have to learn it. And the way you learn it is you're thrust into leadership. That's why I'm a huge proponent of the military, because it thrusts very young people into very, very critical situations, important situations. And not only that, the military has great learning laboratories, not only in the field, but they have educational opportunities. I was fortunate to graduate from postgraduate programs called the Air Command and Staff College, the Air War College. There's, of course, for others, there's the National War College. And so they take a certain percentage and send them on to postgraduate training, which hone skills, but mostly it's professional development. And so the military is a great laboratory, both in the field and in the classroom, both, and it's important, both at the officer and enlisted level. The enlisted are not left out of that. Great schools for the enlisted people.
Different types of leadership in both areas, both for enlisted and officers.
Exactly, and some of the quality leaders that I came across, I was blessed to work for some, all the way from colonel to four-star general, people that were that made a difference, made a real difference in the Air Force and, I believe, in the United States and in the world.
Well, you retired as colonel. Was the retirement first and then the American Orthodox Society second, or was it the other way? Did they find you?
No. I came to the point in my career where I had decided that I wanted to retire from the Air Force. And everyone in the military wants to be the one that chooses when they want to leave. And that's not always the case, but I was blessed to have a successful career and to be able to choose the time that I would leave the military. And having been a resident of Dallas, having grown up in Dallas, I made the decision to come back here and start a second career. So I found the American Orthodontic Society, and I found my second career after I've retired from the Air Force. I didn't retire, but I did retire from the Air Force.
Well, you are the executive director of a society, yet you are also chairman of the board of the Texas Society of Association Executives. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, formerly I was chairman of the board of the Texas
Society. So it must have changed recently.
Well, formerly I was chairman of the board of Texas Society of Association Executives. As with any association, there are associations for everyone and everything. And so association executives and professionals in the association world have their own association. It starts with the American Society of Association Executives. Then in the state, we had the Texas Society of Association Executives. I was fortunate to get on their board of directors. I was fortunate then to become chairman of the board for the state. And then a few years ago, I was asked if I would come. Dallas also has it, Dallas-Fort Worth Association Executives. We are not components of each other. We are independent organizations to promote the education and the networking that goes on among association professionals and very equally important, the industry suppliers that support associations across the Metroplex area. So currently I'm president of the board for the Dallas-Fort Worth Association Executives, a professional association for association executives.
Well, you are also, I understand, a certified association executive, which is limited to 1 out of 20, only about 5%. Of executives have that, but the reason I'm bringing that up, between the military and running the American Orthodontic Society, it sounds like you jump in with both feet and you are very focused in what you do, whatever you do. Is that correct?
Well, I think the military,
I'm sure that sets you up a little bit.
The military sets you up because in the military, obviously in the military, you move from rank to rank to rank, and that is your goal. So if it's there, you achieve it. In the military, officers are expected to get advanced degrees, and so you strive to get those advanced degrees in the next promotion, and you see the importance of that and the professional importance of that. And so when I got out and got involved in associations and someone said, there is something called a certified association executive, I go, wow, there's something else to achieve as a civilian. But I also knew that it would make me better at my job. I would learn more about it because I was probably not likely to go read the association law handbook on my own. And to take a test, I had to do that, and it was a very difficult test. And yes, about 5% do go get it. It's not that only 5% are capable of getting it. It's a matter of choice.
Well, you also, interestingly enough, are you've received the National Outstanding Eagle Scout Award. I was interested about that because my son was involved in scouting, got him in. I got to be a scout leader, too. How does one go about receiving that award?
Well, I just received that about two weeks ago, and I guess I should ask that question of the Boy Scouts of America because I'm not exactly sure how they arrived at it. I was told that I was nominated for the award, was vetted by the Boy Scouts of America National Office, and then it went to the Circle 10 North Texas Council for a committee, and then I was notified by letter that I had received it. And it was truly a big honor, and I don't know what I might have done to deserve it. I don't currently work with scouting, but I understand it has to do with your service. In this instance, is in the North Texas area, and yes, as so many the people you interview on the show and others, as so many others are involved in helping to support organizations through volunteer, and I see that how important that is. So I assume that that's must have been where that came from.
Well, I know that my son, who did not receive his Eagle Scout Award, had to do that by the time he was 18, and I've noticed that you're a little bit older than 18 years of age. Were you involved with scouting when you were younger, prior to the military and school?
Oh, yes, I was an Eagle Scout, and I started very young. I tell people that when I was raised, there was really only two things that you went and did. You either played baseball or you got in Boy Scouts, and so I did both. And that was the two things. There were not quite as many distractions as they are today. So therefore, and you got into a peer group that in scouting, that became your peer group, and we moved along. And that was, when I got it, it was a little quicker. I was an Eagle Scout by the time I was 15, but that was also prior to the service project, I understand.
Well, tell everybody how they can find out more about the American Orthodontic Society.
www.orthodontics.com. If you're a dental professional that's interested in increasing your practice and growing your practice through orthodontics, we are there to help you with that.
Well, Tom, thank you very much for being a part of the Playmakers Talk Show.
Thank you.
Tom Chapman is the Executive Director for the American Orthodontic Society. This has been a terrific show. We've had great playmakers. Our first guest was Jennifer Schomburg, the Managing Partner for Fuse Solutions, and we just spoke with Tom Chapman, Executive Director of the American Orthodontic Society. Thank you very much for joining us. You can also join us at PlaymakersTalkShow.com, where you can get all of our replays and past episodes. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we'll be back next week with more Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting playmakers.